Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, you are listening to the C-Squared podcast with Holly and Curtis. It's been a while, but we're back. And today we are here with Tom Coles, who you may remember from various journals, such as, let's see, The Quietus, Zero Tolerance, Cult Nation. He's also a member of the band Stale and has a book coming out in October that you should definitely pre-order. So, Tom, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks so much. I love being here.
Yay.
This is Tom's second time being here, I think, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. So we're going to take it from the top. So I think we asked you this last time, but that would have been like a year ago. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of go into how your journey into music began, kind of like when you first came into entering the world of journalism or when you became a musician? Actually, both, I guess.
Sure. They always sort of, they kind of went hand in hand, I guess. Like I always wanted to be a writer and I always wanted to be a musician. It was sort of kind of natural that I would want to like write about music. I guess being a musician came a little bit earlier. I started learning drums when I was about 15. And then shortly after, met Charlie, who's the guitarist of Sale. We went through a bunch of different bands, a bunch of different names, and then ended up in Sale with the same lineup we've got now. Journalism, writing generally. I started off doing a few little bits through my degree, sort of doing reviews, that kind of thing, kind of cutting my teeth on stuff. And then was lucky enough to get a internship with Terrorizer when they were still doing those in 2012. And that was amazing, a real eye-opener into like how much work it is to work for a print magazine and to be, you know, be in London in the heart of a really busy city doing really busy stuff to a really, really tight deadline. And how much work that is and how much proofreading there is and how much attention to detail goes into every part of making something like that happen. And from there I was hooked. I know I had to sort of take that further and see how far that would go. Since then, that was 2012. I then sort of was like, okay, right, we're just like that, this is me now. I'm just gonna make this happen. And then ended up writing for a bunch of different things, a bunch of different websites, trying to do as many things as possible, as many interviews, many reviews, just kind of like grinding to get better at it. Always had my eye on doing something like a book. And I really like the 33 and a third series. I know they're quite big in America. And I always sort of had my eye on that as like the prize, the sort of main goal that I was going to like do one of those. I kept pitching. I had a moment I would try and pitch a Napalm Death book, but I thought like if the pitch is really, really good, if I take like 4 days to write the pitch, I'm sure like they'll at least like it might sort of come through. They've done other metal ones. They've done I think Metallica have one, Nine Inch Nails have one, Guns N' Roses have one, so that kind of thing. But like there must be, I know Napalm Death readers and they Napalm Death fans and they all read a lot. The people in Napalm Death read a lot. Like there must be a market for it. So I sent them what I thought was a really good pitch and they got back and said like, do you want to come and do a book on genre? We're doing a new series. Do you want to repitch and do a genre book? I said like, oh my gosh, yes, I'd love to do that. That's amazing. So I worked out a new pitch and then a few months later they confirmed it. And I spent the next year interviewing people and writing a book.
Nice.
I know, that's amazing.
That was a bit of a ramble.
No, that's great. Rambling's great. I'm quite interested then. So with the book thing, how did the idea of like the genre, because you're sort of doing more of a genre book now, was that quite a change from what you originally planned to do, or was it kind of easy to sort of shift ideas over?
It was easy in some. In the beginning, it was kind of easy because I'd sort of I had a good grounding on death metal. I'd read quite widely on it. I was a big fan. I'd been a big fan since I was about 15. But I'm younger than that. I don't know. Some point in my teens. And I was still, you know, my interest in it had sort of like gone up and down as I got older. I got into other things. But I always had a bit of. I always had like a real like soft spot for a lot of the real classic death metal. Like it was the kind of like comfort music I would go to, even when I was getting into more extreme or sort of weirder music. So I had a really good background in it. Initially, it started off. Initially, a lot of the ideas kind of moved over from. I drafted a little bit of a Napalm Death book, and I then. Obviously, you know, Napalm Death are a pretty big band for death metal. So a lot of that was kind of rewritten, but not, but the ideas were still kind of there. Some of the focus, I mean, obviously there was a lot more to do. It was a lot broader and all the stuff, some of the stuff I'd written had to be cut back quite a bit. I think some of the ideas behind why, like what death metal does changed quite a lot. So like the question I wanted to ask was like, I kind of had my parents in mind, like the kind of questions they would ask, like, why would anyone, you know, make a book about, why would anyone like this kind of thing? I kind of had them in mind, be like, okay, I'm gonna write a book for you guys so you can read, and you can be like, oh, right, that's why. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I get that with my work. I answer those sort of questions. I'd be quite interested to talk a little bit about Sale, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You seem to have like really good hand at social media and doing sort of your own promo and stuff with it. So I was kind of wondering what sort of methods you find in this sort of world where marketing a band is suddenly incredibly difficult because you've got algorithms flying at you that you're trying to figure out constantly, how you sort of manage that and try and make it work for you.
Sure. Firstly, like, thank you very much. That's nice to hear. It's weird because, we have found recently it's changed quite a lot. You know, some of the stuff we've put up hasn't had, you know, as much reach as we would have liked. The algorithms have changed all the time. Obviously I've taken a bit of a break from everything. So I've been finishing off the book and everything. So I'm coming back to it. You know, it's like you close your eyes for a second and the world changes. I'm 30 now and I'm definitely feeling like the world's moved on from how it was a few years ago. But I think something that's worked for us is keeping up, like trying to maintain putting out putting good posts up quite a lot. So working with we've got like a big bank of photographers we've worked with, for example, where, you know, if we're having like a slow news week, we can just we can post a bunch of things with people we've collaborated with, and that's really nice. You know, it's nice to sort of like, it's nice for us to revisit those memories, and it's nice for, you know, people like seeing pictures, like really high quality pictures of us doing stuff. I think something that works for us is like developing a kind of voice, like we're talking to our fans. Like whenever I write a post, I imagine that we're sort of like in our local, we've just played a gig and we're talking to like our friends and like friends' bands afterwards, and like people who, you know, buy our shirts and that kind of thing. I think people like to read that. It's the kind of thing people react to, and the kind of thing people respond to. I think it's people want to read that. People want to feel like they're part of something. People want to feel like they're part of a larger community, I think. So that's something that's been working for us over the past few years.
Yeah, it's really interesting, I think, sort of getting the balance between professional, like you say, having good posts that are good high quality, but not losing like the friendliness and the genuineness as well. Because I do think sometimes bands, they go maybe a bit too far down the professional route and suddenly it becomes a bit cold and stuff. So yeah, I think that's really important. You get the balance. Any follow-ups, Curtis?
Not on that one. You kind of stole my next question though at the same time. So I'm gonna kind of veer off a little bit then and just quickly ask, just out of curiosity, Tom, was there any specific music related books that you have read over the years that you kind of use as inspiration for the one that you're reading right now, other than the 30 33 and a half ones?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a big one, the big death metal book is Choosing Death, which is, yeah, classic. Obviously, I read that when I was quite young. It's coming out to about 20 years since it's come out. So there are obviously 20 years of history has happened since then. But it's an amazing Bible on everything. It really lays down the gauntlet. And everything that comes out afterwards has to, because it's so well done, everything that comes out afterwards has to expand on that. So that was, the big one. And I really delighted in reading that again. I was sort of worried that I feel really sort of pent up and anxious reading it. But actually, yeah, it was a joy to revisit it. I really love Line the Doors, What Are You Doing Here? That came out, I think, in the sort of... She's in the book. Yeah, she's in the book. She was wonderful. We did a really long, really in-depth interview. She was fantastic. I've got them all sort of lined up. Swedish Death Metal, great book. There's a book called, there's a book by a chap called Paul Hegarty about noise music. And I interviewed him. That was really interesting. Because a lot of that is... how noise works sort of culturally. So it's not too, when you hear a death growl and you're not used to it, you go, especially when you listen to, a heavy metal song, quite often the vocals come in an unexpected place. You sort of, if you've listened to pop music before, you listen to a heavy metal song, you pretty much know what you're getting for the most part, unless it's something really sort of out there. So where you get that and the voice is really, distorted and horrible, that's a real shock to the system when you're not used to it. I thought it was really interesting. That was not a book about death metal, but a book that could be applied to death metal, and was very influential to me when I was thinking about it. There's a really good book called How to Write About Music, which is by... 33 and a third group, which I found really, really useful. And I would, if anyone asked me, what book they would read, what book I would recommend to them if they wanted to write about music, I would definitely start with that. And actually that formed the basis of like the initial pitches. And then other than that, I really love, I've got the John Peel book, which he wrote and co-wrote with his wife. And Lester Bangs is just fantastic, classic music writers. Just an absolute joy to read. It can be a little bit difficult to balance, the actual sort of technicals of what happened with just something that reminds you of why you're enjoying listening to it in the first place. I think a really good music writer balances both.
We can't hear you. this microphone's more trouble than it's worth. Oh, well, whilst he's gone, I was going to say, have you read Dan Franklin's book, Heavy? Because I got that one when it came out.
I think he's another Crisis guy, another Crisis writer. Yes, I have read that. Yeah, that's really, really good.
I like that one. That's good.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. Another really good one is, a really obvious one is Keith Carnes-Harris's book, Extreme Metal, Culture on the Edge. I've got the subtitle wrong, but Keith was really, some of my background is in academia a little bit, so it felt kind of obvious to me when I was writing it to seek out some academics and get like a little bit of a kind of, it's not an academic book, but it helped to have a kind of academic flavor. I think that made it it helps to sort of bring in that kind of flavor to it. And Keith was really generous. We spent a good half an hour talking about sociology stuff, and probably half an hour talking about, you know, At the Gates and Carcass. An hour well spent.
Yeah. Cool. So let's see, what else? I guess I'd be quite interested to know, sort of as a journalist, what aspects of journalism you enjoy the most? Is it perhaps more the interviews, or is it just sort of discovering new music, that sort of thing?
That's a good question. I think when I started, you know, I wanted to do the really big bands when it had like the stars in my mind. I did a couple of ones that were really, really important to me. Quite quickly, I was like, you know what, I think I prefer like doing the smaller bands that I'm really excited for. When I think about, like, obviously I'm pleased with the work I did for the book, but recently I did a bunch of I'm taking a bit of a break, but I'm still doing some reviews for Zero Tolerance. I got to do some reviews for smaller sort of upcoming bands. And I just thought, like, shit, man, these guys are fantastic. You know, it really, like, it's really heartwarming to be part of the mechanism that brings smaller bands and upcoming bands like into the forefront. I think that's the bit I enjoy the most.
So are there any bands in particular that are your favorites that you've discovered over the years?
Sure. So upcoming, I'm into weird stuff. I really like Wallowing. Wallowing have come up recently-ish. I think my sense of time over the pandemic is so weird. I think probably last sort of five-ish years. Wallowing are really good. They're sort of they're Brighton-based. I think they get a little mention in the book, but it's somewhere between sort of noise, like harsh noise, grindcore, sludge. It's difficult to sort of pin them down. But they are fantastic. They play in these sort of goth beekeeper suits. It's got a kind of sort of John Carpenter on Bad Shrooms, like space, like seven, and then like crossed with like 70s sci-fi sort of thing. But it's I think quite often with stuff like that where it's high concept, it's easy to sort of pin it down to like, oh, okay, it's a take on Rush, or it's a take on Hawkwind, or whatever, or like it's a take on like classic 70s sci-fi. I don't really get that with them. I can't really sort of pin it down to anything, any one thing in particular. It's just really, really, like, really fantastic. Who's got Grief Ritual? Got new stuff coming out. They're great. They're from sort of Southwest area. Really, really, really intense. Really blunt, sort of black and hardcore. And it's pretty obvious they're going to be massive. Band called Everest Queen, actually toured with in, I think, 2019. We've got that in just under the radar. They're amazing. They've got a new album coming out at some point quite soon, or at some point this year, I think, on Trip Nation. They're fantastic. I saw them a couple of weeks ago in Southampton, and it's sort of very kind of very sort of swampy, very intricate, textured, spacey sludge. It feels very very colorful, very interesting, and very, very textured. They're a very special band. And a band called Lowen, who are, I am convinced, just going to be the next Green Lung, who are London-based doom band. Absolutely spectacular. One of the best live drummers I've ever seen. Amazing. Saw them at Bloodstock, and they were probably my band for the weekend.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Cool. Yeah, I can't get over the fact you put swampy and spacey in the same sentence. I'm just intrigued.
As Star Wars tells us, you can't have swamps in space. Maybe that's what they're going for.
True. Yeah, that would make sense.
So we got about 5 minutes left, just so you guys both know. One question I did have that Holly didn't put on here, but I had noticed on the sales socials that something was coming this Friday. Are you willing to talk about what it is that is coming this Friday?
I can talk about that. Sure. Yes, so we've got a new video coming out for a song we put out last year. Obviously the pandemic sort of put everyone's plans a little bit back a little bit, but we always knew that this So the Flood is a song we really, really love. We played live a whole bunch. Yeah, we've got a video coming out for it, which we've spent we spent a while putting together. It's made by our good friend Kieran, GLK Media. He did the mannequin video for us, and he plays drums for the band Foxjaw, who are also fantastic. I left off my list just then. Very sorry about that. Sorry, Foxjaw. Really good fun. We went to a VR studio and filmed it there. I remember I wrote one of the politest emails of my life. As a very polite emailer, I wrote one of the politest emails of my life saying, please, can we book you out and then film in your VR studio? And they said yes. It was all right. It was obviously the email was polite enough and they were keen. So yeah, it was really good fun. Music videos for me, I don't know anything about filming. So it's really good for me because I can just kind of put the wheels in motion, and then we turn up on the day and then we have a really good time. And it's a good chance as well, because with the photo shoots I was talking about a while back, we're just mates with everyone now. So we just after we finished the shoot, we had a bit of time left. So we just played VR for an hour. It was great.
Good times. Cool. So we got time for one more question.
Okay.
If Holly wants to give the final question.
Oh, okay. So if you were a road sign, what road sign would you be and why?
If I was what, sorry?
If you were a road sign.
A road sign?
Yes.
I would be, I think you're sort of like Midlands, UK. So a fun cultural thing, everyone who does their driving test down here. Sorry, Curtis, this is going to be so weird. It's going to be the weirdest thing you've ever heard.
I doubt that, but go ahead.
So everyone who does their driving test down here has to do, when you do your theory, you have to learn all the road signs. And everyone down here is confused at the brown ones with tram signs on, because we don't have trams down here. We've never seen the tram sign. Everyone is so confused. I know Nottingham's got trams, I think. I think that's true.
I'm trying to think in Manchester, I'm sure the blue signs are not brown, but I don't know.
Maybe. Have I just admitted publicly that I don't know my road signs? Anyway, I would be a tram sign because it would be confusing and you'd have to get someone to explain it to you. That's the first thing that comes to mind. There we go.
So there's
I like that.
So there's tram signs, but there's no trams?
So there are trams in the UK, just not in the south. I don't know of any south. So Nottingham's kind of Midlandsy area. And I don't know of any trams or any reason why you would have a tram sign south of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is pretty weird. I don't think it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, but that is pretty darn weird. I'll give you that much. I was expecting something else, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
What are you expecting? Is there a death metal sign?
I don't know, like don't eat the spotted dick sign or something? I don't know, like don't eat the haggis? I don't know.
Those are national treasures.
I don't know what signs you think we have over here, but we don't have that.
I don't know. Every time I ever ask a British person if they've eaten spotted dick, they just give me like this weird look, so I don't know. I had to bring it up. I'm sorry, guys.
I have eaten spotted dick. It's probably enough said.
That's a soundbite right there, Tom. What was I going to say? Do you have anything else that you would like to say before we end off the podcast, Tom?
I guess, yeah. Thank you very much for having us. We are recording a new album. We've got that in a couple of, I think about 3 weeks. Yeah, we're starting it. Cool. Very excited about that. I'm sort of going through all the bits now and tightening everything up. We've got a new video coming out on Friday. Got a couple of new, had a new single recently and a new cover. It's please listen to our music. Cool. It would be lovely.
Very cool. Holly, do you have anything final you would like to say before the recording ends?
Last thing I'd say, go and pre-order Death Metal, Tom's new book. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Tom, for coming on.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.